And we're back.
Already?
This is a cringy hello. This is Victor. Today I get to, I don't know why I said it like that. Today I get to talk to someone I've actually known for a really long time now. It's been like, what's 2020? I feel like it's been like 8 years.
2012.
Yeah, I get to talk to Amy. I met her on social media, I think, like through Facebook or Instagram, through a mutual friend.
Would not recommend.
And I've known her for like 5 years, and then I finally met her in person, maybe, or maybe it was six. And then I most recently saw her in Spain. We were just coincidentally in Spain together, which was crazy. But I guess, that's the introduction you get. So, Amy, thanks for joining us today.
Of course, thank you so much for having me. Such a long intro, like describe our whole entire background.
I also said joining us. It's just me, so.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that we've known each other for literally 8 years, but we've seen each other in person twice.
know. It's the social media age will really do that to you.
Really well.
Well, I actually haven't seen or talked to Amy in a while, so I just wanted to ask, what have you been doing these past couple of months with like quarantine and then now that you're back in school, like what's been up with you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I went home after school ended. I stayed on campus until the end of the semester to finish it out, and then I was at home actually interning at the same place that Victor's about to go to in the spring. And that was remote, which was super unfortunate, but it was still like a good experience. And being at home was pretty draining, I would say, but it was super nice that I got to be at home like with my family and like have all these meals cooked for me. Which was great. And another thing I discovered was Catan. I played like probably every other day this summer, like whether in person in my yard or like on colonist.io. And yeah, I spent a lot of time like outside with friends from high school. We played a lot of like volleyball and spike ball and things like that. So yeah, it's been a while. Like I feel like I'm very used to quarantine right now.
Where were you supposed to work had it not been virtual?
Oh, I was supposed to be in this super small town in Connecticut called Northford. It looked very like suburban, like small town, so that would have been interesting to go to. I feel like I expected I would like be working in a city for like the first time. But yeah, it was very like low key, so super interesting.
Yeah. Would your parents have let you remain in Pennsylvania? During like March through May, or did they kind of force you to come back?
I stayed like on and off in Pennsylvania. I was actually, so my dad was in New Jersey for a period of time, so I was with him there, and he was like pretty like iffy about me staying in Pennsylvania just because Philadelphia had like such a spike in cases early on. But yeah, I don't know. It was very flexible at the time, it felt like, 'cause I was still like going to New Jersey with my dad, and then we ended up driving home from the East Coast back to Minnesota. So that was like an 18-hour drive, but I think my dad was like freaked out about flying.
I don't blame him. I would be too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. When I came back here, I was expecting like maybe one person per row on my flight, and there were four people in my row, and like that's how the whole flight looked like. So I was like, "Wait a second."
Yeah, so like school right now for you, is it kind of hybrid or is it all online? What's it look like right now?
Penn actually pulled a tough one on everyone. So we were supposed to be in hybrid for the whole entire semester, and then 2 weeks before school was supposed to start, they announced that everything would be online, which I think like happened for a few different schools, which really sucks. Like I feel really bad for the freshmen, but I was already back on campus when they announced that. So I was kind of like, okay, like I feel bad for all the freshmen and sophomores, but I'm ready here, so sorry.
Sorry, it's not your fault.
Sorry to the administration.
That's crazy. Yeah, for A&M, I feel like a lot of us expected them to push it to online like really soon. And we have like this COVID tracker. I don't know how many like
Like an
pause.
app.
Yeah, like a dashboard on a website. And I don't know how many people have gotten tested positive. I know it's like a really low amount. I mean, it's still probably in like the thousands just because they've tested so many people, but it's like a less than 10% positive rate. But I don't know, I was just
Wait,
certain.
10% is really high.
You know, the thing with A&M is that I think they care a lot about just money. And so,
And game days.
oh my gosh, game days. I feel like I talked to you a little bit about this, but
We did talk a little bit about it.
it's crazy. Like, football in Texas is real. Like, people love it so much. They don't care if you're in a pandemic. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, go into a football game with a mask, and then you're standing next to people in the stands, a mask is nowhere to be found.
Oh no. Yeah, I think that's crazy. I'm also like pre-COVID, I was very jealous of all the big schools that were like super like rah-rah about football, because we don't do like anything like that here. Like our stands are nearly empty, I feel like, when there's games, which is super sad.
Do you have school spirit?
I definitely have school spirit. I just feel like as a school, we are a little lacking, I think, especially for sports. Like, I just wish there was more of like the game day feel. I think that only happens really for homecoming or if it's like a big game. But yeah, I'm definitely jealous.
Could you explain to me what homecoming is in college? 'Cause we don't have that at A&M, so.
Oh, what? That's really surprising. I guess like all of your games probably feel like sort of a homecoming, but I guess the tradition is like all the alumni come back and then all the current students will like have like a hype like pregame and like go to the game. We have this tradition where you throw toast, except it's just like bread, onto the field.
Wow.
And I remember my first homecoming, I was like in the front row, like trying to throw bread, and me being in the front row just shows like how little people are at the game. And I got like hit in the face with a piece of bread, but yeah, super, super interesting tradition.
Is a football field just covered with bread? Like, do they just play through that?
It's like, I actually don't remember. I'm assuming they cleaned it up during halftime, or maybe it was the end of the game. I actually have no idea. But I think like a lot of people don't actually get their bread like onto the field because like it just ends up somewhere else in the stands. But otherwise, it's just like the track and like maybe a little bit of the field that's covered in bread.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah. Food waste is a big problem in America,
Yeah, everywhere. No, or you could.
Do you guys have any like traditions at A&M that are similar?
Oh, A&M is huge on traditions. We do these like yells. We don't have cheerleaders, but we have what we call yell leaders. It's just four people. Traditionally, it's four guys. Hopefully, they can get some like female representation in there, but. We have like they just do yells and we like practice them. We have midnight yell, which is midnight before a game, like the night before the game. We go to Kyle Field, practice yells, and kind of like talk trash about the other team.
You practice yells?
Yeah, so they'll be like, oh, so like this is the yell, or like this is a signal for this yell, and this is what you do. And then it's just 20 minutes,
Wow.
but it's a pretty big tradition. There's a lot of other traditions, but none of them involve
Wow.
throwing food onto the field.
Good, that's great to hear. So, do a lot of people show up for the yelling?
It depends. It depends how, you know, good the opponent I guess is. Like if we're playing Alabama, there's usually a big crowd. I remember us we played Clemson like 2 years ago and at A&M and a lot of people showed up, but even if it's like a non-conference opponent, there's usually a lot of people. So it's really, really
Wow.
cool.
Yeah, I bet that was really exciting, like pre-COVID times.
Yeah, there's so many restrictions now. It's crazy.
That's good. I'm proud of you guys.
We aren't doing the best job of dealing with it, I'm not gonna lie.
That's fair. I feel like in comparison though, like a lot of the like southern states are like pretty lax.
No, yeah, for sure. Kind of switching gears a little bit, you talked about you know, how your dad was in Jersey and everything. Why don't you tell the listeners about your family, what the
Yeah,
dynamic
sure.
is?
So I grew up like in the same house my whole life, in Woodbury, Minnesota. Love that place. And growing up, my dad like actually worked in South Dakota. So from like 5th grade until by the time I was in college, he would like commute back and forth every weekend, which is like a 3.5 hour drive, but like even worse if it's like snowing in the winter, because Midwest winters are pretty rough. So yeah, I didn't really get to see my dad that often growing up, and he was definitely like the stricter one out of like my parents when it came to like social things, but my mom was like stricter about grades growing up, I felt like. So when I got to like high school and stuff, my mom was like really chill about like me doing things. And then my dad would come home on the weekend and then I'd be like, ah, I gotta like lay low.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say I'm like medium close with my parents. I definitely think there's a lot of things to be improved on. I think there's just like dynamic that's like there because they're like immigrant parents. And we also have like the generational gap. So we've had like tussles about that growing up. But overall, like, yeah, I love my family. I have a brother who's a year and a half older, so he just graduated. And it's great to have like an older sibling. I feel like a lot of younger siblings can attest. They kind of just like pave the way for you, and then we just come up and like do what they did, but do it a little better because you have that like that step up from them.
No, yeah. I think especially with like the whole immigrant parents thing and the generational gap, I feel like I've definitely experienced that too. I think growing up it was a lot of emphasis on grades. I think they didn't really see a priority or like an importance in socializing. It was kind of me showing them that like I need to have this to like function, I guess. And like I think I got closer with my parents since I got into college, because they realized they couldn't always be there,
Control
and
you.
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think definitely college has been a huge growing point for like me and my parents. But in high school, I mean, I was immature in high school. I didn't really know what was right or what was wrong. But I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I found that looking back, like a lot of things my parents and I disagreed about in high school, I've like reflected back on and been like, okay, they're definitely right about this. So that's been interesting. Like, I feel like I also feel similarly. Like, I was very pretty like immature with them growing up, and I could have like treated them better. Like, I feel like I was the kid who would just like tell my parents that I was going to do this instead of asking them if I could do it at some point. But yeah, it's been an interesting growth from that.
Yeah, do you think you like since you've went to college, you said your dad was more chill with, or your dad was more like letting you do social stuff and your mom was like more, I guess, strict about grades. Do you feel like they kind of let up on that since you were in college, or is it kind of the same?
Yeah, they've definitely like let up on it, but like even in the summer, like this past summer when I was home, my dad would be like, okay, it's like 11, 12 o'clock, you should come home now. And I'd be like, maybe. But yeah, my dad's definitely one that's like very protective of like me staying out late at night and things like that. Like, he's just very protective.
Yeah. You go to University of Pennsylvania, which is very different, I imagine, from where you grew up. So what was that transition like?
So it's been a while. I'm currently a junior. And I remember like, before I came to Philadelphia, I like could not even sleep at night. I was just like so excited to make the transition from high school to college. And I definitely think I had really, really high expectations for college, which were not exactly met, but I still think coming to college was like an awesome transition. It was definitely difficult at first because it was so like far from home, but I think a part of me has always been like very independent. So I was very happy to be in like a new city away from home and away from like everything I knew. Like, I guess I felt like it could be like a fresh start in a way. I think the hardest part was the academic transition because when I went to my public high school at home, it was like pretty chill for me. Like, I didn't feel super academically challenged. And I think I felt prepared for college, but then when I got to college, I realized everything is so much harder than I anticipated. So that was definitely something I struggled with. But I feel like I just have loved like all the people I've met, and it's been like a great experience in that front. And I feel like there's so many opportunities that everyone has in college, so like extracurriculars, social, academic growth. So that's been really awesome.
Yeah. Did you have any other options, like college-wise, to go to, or like what made you go to UPenn?
Yeah, I applied to a decent amount of schools. I think I applied to 15 schools and only like two were in the Midwest, and then the rest were like either on the East or West Coast, but like mostly the East Coast. And Penn was always my favorite Ivy because it had that combination, or it had like the reputation of being like the social Ivy. And I just like loved that about that. I thought, like I didn't want everything to be like about academics, even though that's like not true for any college. Like now that I've gone here and realized like no college is just like all schoolwork. But yeah, I picked Penn because of that. And then I also got into Johns Hopkins, which is where my brother went for college. So I was debating between those two, but since I like didn't really want to go into like anything medical, and I had visited Hopkins campus before and it was like a little small and like isolated for me, I like definitely knew Penn was the right choice.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you talked about not wanting to go into medicine. You're computer science right now. Why computer science?
TBH, when I picked computer science, I didn't really know why computer science. I actually applied to all my schools as a chemical engineer, but Penn has their chemical engineering major combined with biomolecular engineering. So I was like, I saw the word bio and I was like, okay, I can't apply for that. So I applied for material science and engineering because that's something I like dabbled in high school. I did like an internship one summer where I learned about material science. I was like, okay, that'll be like relevant to me. And that's what I thought I wanted to do. But then after I like had already picked that I was going to Penn, I went there for like Quaker Days, which is like their weekend where admitted students can visit and like talk to people in like the departments that they're in. And me and my parents went, and my dad like kind of talked me away from material science because he thought that it didn't have many like career path choices except for like graduate school, like research and things like that, and that's not what I was really interested in. And we looked through like the rest of the majors that they offered, and computer science is one that I never thought I would do. Like I didn't even take AP Comp Sci in high school, and it feels like everyone I know here did, like even if they're not computer science majors. So yeah, he pushed me in the computer science direction, even though like no one in my family has experience with that, just because we realized that there's like a lot of career paths for it. And I think like I was pretty like against like my parent pushing me in a career path direction. But after I got here and like took a computer science class, I was like, okay, this is actually like really fun. Like I love the problem solving aspect of it, even though I like hate the debugging aspect of
Oh,
it.
yeah.
But yeah, but I think there's so many different career paths that you can go to, like engineering or not. Like it's just very like open.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way with like my parents too, is like I did not know what I wanted to do, and my parents were both, my mom had like family members in the medicine, like medical field, and my dad was mechanical, and so I was very conflicted because I was like, I don't know what to do, but I'm good at math. So probably something in the STEM field. But I also did really bad in chemistry. So I don't know. I felt like a way to appease both my parents was to do like biomedical engineering because it was like, you know, but
Yeah, I remember that you were going in biomedical.
quickly realized that it wasn't for me. So I stuck with mechanical, and it's definitely been a ride, but I'm glad that I've gotten through it
I feel
almost.
like it fits you. Also, like in high school, when you think of engineering, you just think of mechanical, and that's like, yeah, like that suits Victor.
Oh yeah, for sure. I like it's kind of funny too, because up until I think up until like sophomore year of college, I didn't know what engineers did or even like what my dad did. I just knew he worked for a company, like an oil and gas company, and that's it.
Yeah, I feel like it's so different from like the classes you take in high school. Like I took this like CAD class in high school, and I don't think that's what mechanical engineers do on the daily. Like I feel like it's, I don't know, a lot more involved, like collaborative.
Oh yeah, you can't. They're like you have to be on a team. You can't get things done on your own. That's impossible, I feel.
For sure.
But you know, I was going through your social media, obviously, as I do. Even if I wasn't doing a
As you
podcast,
do.
even if I wasn't doing a podcast, I probably still would. It's funny to see the progression of Amy's life from 2012 to 2020.
Oh my gosh, back at you.
But I saw something that I think you posted in like 2019 about the Percentage Project and, you know, being a female in Comp Sci, which is I mean, I see it here at A&M. It's there's not too many. So, like, what is that, and why are you like passionate about that?
Yeah, the Percentage Project is something started by someone at Penn, I believe, and it's just this like movement where once a year a bunch of like women in computer science will take pictures, and then we'll all like change our profile pictures on Facebook to this picture with an overlay of a bunch of statistics that we gathered from people in the computer science department at Penn. And yeah, it's super awesome because I think it brings a lot of awareness to how people may feel, not necessarily even women, but a lot of people may feel about the lack of diversity in so many facets, and not just at Penn, but at like so many other schools as well. I think it's just a woman in STEM thing. But I feel like at Penn, I got pretty lucky because we do have a pretty equal gender distribution in computer science, so I don't feel like as much of an outlier as the breakdown actually is like across the nation. But there's definitely like a lot of underlying feelings of imposter syndrome, and feeling like you're being mansplained to a lot of the time, or feeling like you can't ask a question because someone's going to judge you. But I think that's something that a lot of people feel like, regardless of gender, just being at like a school studying computer science. So that's really interesting, and I think we also have like a really good network of women in computer science. And I've like participated in a pre-orientation called Advancing Women in Engineering, which is just like a program for women in engineering to learn about things before they come into freshman year. And so it's been awesome. I was a leader for that the past 2 years after I participated in it my freshman year. So I think that was like a really awesome way to like be introduced into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like, obviously I see that in comp sci, but even in mechanical engineering too. Back when COVID didn't exist, we could look across our classroom and there just weren't that many girls. And I think I'm on LinkedIn a lot, and I saw a couple of videos where it's like, women talking about their experiences being in like a male-dominated field and how like. I mean, you talked about like the mansplaining thing. Like, that just gets me so mad because it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I feel like it's just basic, like common sense. Like, you're just treating another person like a human. You guys have like the same end goal. Like, there's no need to, I don't know, do that. But have you ever like experienced any sort of like, I guess, discrimination in that sense of being like a woman in computer science?
I feel like it's very implicit. Like, I don't think I can think of an experience where someone has outright told me, like something discriminatory. But I feel like there's been instances where like my guy friends will joke about like, oh, like you're here because you're a woman or things like that. But then it's like when you think more about it, it's like, okay, is that okay for you to say to me? So yeah, I definitely love calling out my guy friends when they do say something like that, just because I feel like it comes from like an implicit bias standpoint. But yeah, I don't think it's very like front on. Like, I don't think a random person would just say something discriminatory, but I think it's just very like implicit.
Yeah, I feel that too. I think it's good that it's not just people are comfortable telling you that you're not good enough because you are. I feel like that if you're in a place like that where like the culture is just say whatever you want, don't care what other people think. I think that's a pretty toxic environment.
For
But
sure.
I think to a certain extent, sometimes I get that where people will look at like. I'm Chinese American, and they're like, oh, you're here because you help us with our diversity numbers or whatever. I don't get that as often, but like, I kind of see what you're saying whenever people look at you and they automatically assume like you're just here as another statistic and not because like you can actually
Yeah,
contribute.
that's so interesting because I feel like there's so many Asians at Penn, we're almost like overrepresented. But what is it like for you, like in Texas? Like, how is the Asian American community at A&M?
Yeah, A&M is definitely like a predominantly white university. I think they've definitely made some strides to become more inclusive. They definitely have a lot more things they can do. And it's kind of sad because I remember like freshman year coming into A&M, I felt like, people see me as like this this Chinese kid over here before they see me as like an A&M student or like, you know what I mean? And so I was not sure that I was gonna like find a home here. And it was blatantly obvious. Like you go to like, I don't know, a common gathering area on campus and like a cafeteria, and you'll see like Asian people have their own like table, and then everyone else, like it's like really se not like segregated on purpose, but it just kind of happens that way. Like the Asian group will stick together, and I definitely have felt like I'm not just only gonna hang out with Asian people, like, but I'm also not just gonna hang, like, I'm just gonna hang out with whoever like I click with the best, you know,
Exactly.
whether it they are people of color or whether they aren't. And so I think as I've gotten older, I have not really worried too much about, you know, people seeing me as Chinese before I am an A&M student or an Aggie, but it's definitely something that's always like finds its way into the back of my mind somehow. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising to me because I had like kind of the opposite experience because I came from like the Midwest where my suburban hometown is predominantly white. I feel like there weren't many Asian people or people of color at my school. And then coming here, I was like shocked by the number of Asian people around me. I was like, wow, this is like so awesome. Like, I think Penn is like around 20% Asians. So it was kind of like baffling. I was like, wow, like I was very, I just grew up in such a like non-diverse community, I feel like.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite for me. I kind of grew up, well, I grew up in a, I guess my high school was also predominantly white, but there's also a lot of Asian people. And then I just come here and there's a lot of white people and not as many. It's like A&M's population's like 66,000 or whatever, and it's a pretty small amount of minorities. So definitely was an adjustment.
Yeah, for sure. I bet. Wow. We really went in the opposite directions.
Yeah. I also was curious too, are there any misconceptions of going to like an Ivy League school?
I feel like thinking back, I don't remember what I expected. But I'm definitely like happy with what I found here. I feel like some of the misconceptions though, stem around people similar to my parents. Like my parents, especially my dad, has the mindset where if you don't go to like a prestigious college, then like it's gonna be harder for you to be successful in life. And I feel like that's not true because like each individual has their own amount of drive to be successful, and like I don't think where you go to college is going to change that drastically. And another thing that I was just talking about with some of my friends was just because we go to an Ivy League doesn't mean we know how to get in. Like, we all think we just got in because it was kind of like a crapshoot. And I know like this conversation came about because one of my friends was telling us how their family friend or something was like asking them to edit an essay for their kid and was paying them like $50 an hour. And we were like, well, like we're just gonna like edit the grammar. Like, I don't know what to tell you to how to like write an essay to get in. So I think that's super interesting. Like, we really like don't know the formula.
Yeah, admission like college admissions is such a like shot in the dark, and there's
Yeah, I
so like
agree.
every admissions officer looks for something different. It's impossible to predict what is like the perfect formula, I guess.
Exactly. And it's so holistic. I think it's crazy. Like, if our parents didn't immigrate to the United States, we would have grown up in China where their like college admissions is just like a single test. It would just be like the SAT. And that's it. Like, that's the only metric of getting into school. So I'm very happy that America does like a holistic application process.
Yeah. Something else too you mentioned, I kind of like realize this is, yeah, your college doesn't really define you of like what career options are available. It's definitely like a talking point. Like if somebody goes to Stanford, like that's obviously you associate Stanford to be a very prestigious school, like the people coming out of it. You know, there are all these like stereotypes of universities, but at the end of the day, like a company isn't going to hire somebody based off a stereotype. I'd hope not. I like they're going to try to get to know you, and like you also need to be able to back up like your work and your work ethic and everything. So,
Yeah, I completely agree.
and then what's like an embarrassing moment you've had in college? I feel like you've had a lot.
You think I've had a lot?
Just knowing who you are and your personality, I feel like you you've found yourself in a lot of unfortunate situations.
That's funny because I don't think I'm embarrassing, but no, I've definitely had a lot of embarrassing moments. Some are like way too embarrassing to speak about publicly, but one of them that comes to mind. Okay, so in the spring of freshman year is when like we do our sorority rush for freshmen, I guess sophomores too, but I went in just kind of like curious about Greek life. So it actually really sucked because we like rushed in the winter, so everyone would be like lined up outside of houses like in their winter coats just like shivering until we were like allowed to go inside the houses to talk to the girls. But one of the days, I don't know what happened, but I think so I ate at one of our dining halls and I had like these dumplings that they had like once every 2 months. And that night at sorority rush, I was inside one of the houses and I was like not feeling well at all. I asked for like a cup of water. I like felt so embarrassed because like I was just like not presenting myself how I wanted to during sorority rush when you're like trying to impress people. And that house just did not go well. Like the conversation was like not super great. And then I go to like the next house, which is my final house of the night, and I can like feel something stirring up. And I like really did not want anything to happen because we were like surrounded by like so many people. Like if you've ever rushed a sorority, you know how like you're like talking in a room and all you hear around you is like so much loud chatter. And I think that was kind of like triggering for me. And so I ended up like asking the girl like if I could use the bathroom in her house. And as soon as I stepped in, I like projectile vomited into the toilet
Oh
and
my
I felt
gosh.
so bad. I felt horrible and I was so embarrassed because I could like still hear people like talking outside and like going about their like small talk conversations and I was just like spewing like everything I ate into the toilet and it was so embarrassing and I ended up using one of the girls' mouthwash and then they like offered to make me like a sugar drink. It was really sweet and I was like, oh, I was mortified, but that was the sorority I like ended up joining after that week, which was super ironic because of that whole experience. But yeah, very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Did you miss the toilet at all?
I think it like got on like the side of the like rim, but nothing like on the floor. But I remember like I had to like wipe it up and just like pretend like nothing happened.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah, I could picture you doing
Totally, yeah.
that.
You could picture me. Were you the one who like manifested my food poisoning or something?
Maybe I could have just, what time was it at? Was it like at 11:11 or like 4:44 or something?
Somewhere around there.
Oh, that's really unfortunate. I'm glad, you're still able to leave a good impression for them to take you. Are you happy with that sorority?
I don't know if we talked about this, but I actually dropped that sorority like a year ago, and then I joined
Theta
an
Tau.
engineering frat. Yeah. Okay, but back to you. I want to hear like an embarrassing story.
Oh my gosh, embarrassing story in
I know
college.
you have more than I do.
No, I see. Oh, okay. I mean, this happened freshman year. I have really bad vision. I need to wear glasses everywhere I go, and I have to wear glasses at night, otherwise I definitely cannot see. I like to compare it to whenever you are like on portrait mode on your phone and you focus in on like your main target. You know how like the background gets super blurry? Like that's how I see without my glasses. Like it's super
Oh
bad.
my gosh. I was gonna say, I remember you told me about this thing where you wear contacts, like hard lenses in your eyes when you sleep, and then the next morning you take them out and you can like see.
Yes. Oh, okay, I'll get to that later. That a lot of people don't actually know about that, but I'll get to that
Yeah.
later. Anyways, I wasn't wearing glasses one time. I was riding my bike around campus and I figured I knew campus well enough to where I didn't have to wear my glasses, but I guess I didn't because I ended up riding down a set of stairs. It was like five or six flights of stairs, and I
Oh my
somehow was able to
gosh.
manage to stay on until the very end. I had to like do a little side hop off the bike, and I like rolled into like this patch of grass, and I was like, I hope nobody saw that. And then someone was like,
Oh
hey, someone was like, hey, you good? And I was like, yeah, sorry, just slipped.
So you didn't see a full set of stairs coming in front of you.
I did not see a full set of stairs coming. It was so embarrassing.
Oh my gosh,
That's
that is
quite the
hilarious.
experience.
I would pay to see like the security cam footage of that.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't hurt, luckily, but it's funny looking back on it. But to go back with the contact lenses, so in high school, I guess all throughout like middle school and high school, I always wore hard contacts because I played baseball. I didn't want to wear like glasses. And so you put these hard contacts on at night, you sleep. If you get like 8 hours of sleep, you're good. Take them off in the morning, you can see 20/20 for a day. But if you don't wear them at night the following day, your vision keeps deteriorating until, I guess, like after a week, your vision is like the same as it was without like any sort of modification or contact lenses. So you had to wear this
Oh,
every
that's so
night.
interesting. Yeah, I remember when you told me about this like a few years back, and I was just so perplexed. I just never heard of a concept where you can like put lenses on your eyes at night and then have them be good. You take them out in the morning, right?
Yes.
So how does that, I wonder how that works.
So I don't know how to describe it, but I just know, like, I guess at the front of your eye, it's like pushing down on something. And I don't know how to, like, let's pretend like your eye is like, you got your eye, and then you got like this layer that is in front of your eye. And if your vision is very bad, that layer is very thick. But if your vision is good, then that layer is thin. So like what these hard contacts would do was compress that layer until it was super thin, but it wasn't permanent. So you had to keep doing it over and over again. So like that layer could be like as thin as possible.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, but because they were meant to like push down on something, if you got the contact stuck in like the white part of your eye, it would hurt.
Oh no. Is it different from putting in or taking out regular contact lenses?
So I've never taken out or put in regular contact lenses, but I think it is different. You can't use your hands to get them out. You have to use like this like suction thing or whatever.
Oh,
It's
what?
weird.
Wow. You should post like a video demo if you do
No, I don't
this.
want to touch my eyeballs ever again.
Yeah, I remember being so scared when I got contact lenses of the concept of sticking your fingers in your eyeball to like take them out. It was terrifying at first, but
I'd be
now
so
it's
scared.
normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of switching gears a little bit. I know you have a photography account, so what kind
I
of got you
do.
into photography?
Oh, that's a good question. I think in high school, my dad got like a family camera. I feel like that's kind of like an Asian parent thing. Like, loves like getting a camera so they can take pictures when they travel, but like not actually do a whole lot with it.
Definitely.
So, I played a lot around with it in high school, just like taking pictures of like grass in our backyard, like trying to be like artsy and like make something cool with it. And I think like a year or so after that, I started like submitting photos to the Minnesota State Fair photo contest, and I did that like all throughout high school after that, and I ended up like winning like a few things from that. But I was never like super serious about any of it. But then when I got to college, I joined this club called Pen Lens, which is kind of like a club, also like a job because you get paid for it. So like a bunch of different organizations on Penn's campus would hire us to take pictures, mostly for different like events. So that's kind of how I got back into it. I was able to like borrow gear, use super nice lenses for these events. So that kind of got me back into it. And then when quarantine started, I definitely like got more interested in it after that because I was able to just take like portrait pictures of my friends from like 6 feet away. Like it was just really fun to like be able to play around with that. And yeah, I think that's how, not very exciting.
Did you ever like watch videos on how, I guess, how to improve, or did you kind of just learn by doing?
Yeah, I definitely watched videos. Like YouTube is probably like my childhood, and I think it's awesome that you can like find anything on it. So like my recommended on YouTube is probably like a third photography, like a third vlogs, and like a third like commentary or like random stuff.
Obviously, I know like taking pictures on an actual camera is different than like taking it on your iPhone, but are there any like crossover things you've learned that can apply to both?
Wow, that's a really good question because I feel like when I take pictures of my friends at the phone, I'm like, oh, like this looks like all right. But I feel like my favorite thing about using a camera is just being able to change like the aperture, so like how blurry like the background can be. And I feel like that's not very like applicable to using an iPhone, except for when like portrait mode came out. That was super cool. I really like that mode. But I think it has like a few problems with it. Like it doesn't always look super good depending on the lighting. But I think something that's really important is just like the rule of thirds, which applies to like the iPhone. Like that's why there's like a grid on your screen.
What is that? I don't know what that is. The rule of thirds.
The rule of thirds basically says that pictures are more interesting when the focus of the picture is like on like one of the third parts of it. So like if there's a grid, there's gonna be like two lines going each way. And so like the points of interest are like the ones where the lines intersect.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I feel like hopefully I've been doing that. Hopefully, it's intuitive to me, but if not, I
It
think
is, yeah.
I'll experiment with it and get back to you.
Yeah, you definitely should. Maybe start your own photography account.
Maybe. If it wasn't like if you weren't doing like photography or like computer science, what do you think you would be doing? Either as a hobby or as like a major?
I think that's a question that gets asked a lot, but usually it's like if you weren't studying computer science, like what would you want to do? And then I always say like travel photography because I think that's such a cool job. But if that's being banned too, I think I would probably say something to do with space. Like I've always just loved like learning about space. I'm currently doing this like NASA Mission Concept Academy throughout the semester, so we meet like once a week with everyone. There's like a couple hundred kids in it. And then we're assigned like smaller teams outside of that. So I have like a team of eight that I meet with like weekly as well. And we have to like make our own mission plan, which is super awesome. Like we're planning a mission to Enceladus, which is one of the moons on Saturn. And it's really interesting because I feel like with a computer science education, like it's not super relevant, but a lot of like the people I'm working with are aerospace engineers or like astrophysics majors. So it's super cool.
That sounds so cool. I've always been like super interested in space just 'cause like there's so much unknown. It's kind of like the
Right.
ocean. Like you don't know what like we only know such a small part of it, but space especially because like it's just so vast and you have like light years. Like it's just weird like concept of time and how time is
Right.
different. So what about space interests you the most?
Oh, what you were saying reminded me of the like YouTube videos where it like zooms out. It's like this is Earth, and then it zooms out like infinitesimally. Like it's just so big. I think what you said, like I definitely agree with just the like breadth and like the size of space has always like captured my attention. But then I think a lot of things like with the solar system are just so like interesting. Like I forgot what happened in like 2018. There was like a solar eclipse, and that was something that I got really interested in as well. But yeah, I'm definitely like always watching like videos about it and trying to learn more about it.
Do you believe that there is intelligent life out there?
I think I do, but I don't know if we will ever find it. What do you think?
I definitely feel like there is intelligent life just 'cause like with a universe like as large as ours and the fact that there are also other universes out there, I think the chances of there not being it is very small. But like you said, it's very interesting about like are we ever going to be in contact with them? Have they already seen, like, have they seen
Right.
us? And are they just like, oh, like, we don't want to mess with that planet or that.
They're watching our every move. Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I think aliens like used to scare me so much when I was a kid. I remember my mom read us a book about aliens and I was scared to walk across the hall at night to like go to my own room. It was terrifying. But I think, yeah, I think there is like a very small chance that life doesn't exist outside of Earth. Like that's very egotistical to think, I guess.
No, yeah. And I think another interesting concept, kind of like the whole time thing, is how, like, I don't know, I guess light takes, like, what, 7, 8 minutes from the sun to reach to the earth. So, like, for all we know, like, the light we're getting right now could be radiating from a sun that no longer exists, right?
That is crazy. Yeah. That's scary to think about. I think another like thing about space is just the fear factor. Like you don't know what's happening out there. I don't know if I'll ever like know.
And then like wormholes and all those different, I don't even know what
Yeah.
other stuff there is out there, but that's just like that concept is interesting.
Yeah, I would love to learn more about it. Maybe I'll take an astrophysics class next semester.
How did you find out about this NASA thing since you said it wasn't super like applicable to computer science?
I don't remember how I found out about it. Maybe through LinkedIn. But yeah, I just applied online like in the summer, and it was marketing itself as a program for anyone interested in working in the space industry. So I knew like computer science wouldn't be super relevant, although it like is in a way. But I just applied because I wanted to like learn more about it, and it's been like really fun learning more.
That's awesome. Yeah, if you don't have a LinkedIn, you definitely need to get one. It is a gateway to a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I remember being like so disappointed, but also like, I don't know, like pleasantly surprised when I hit like the like 500 connections benchmark.
I think everyone strives for that.
Amazing. Yeah, such a meme.
Yeah, I used to be so intimidated by LinkedIn, like everyone posting all of these inspiring posts, and then they're, job hopping, or not job hopping, but like transitioning jobs. And then I look at their history, and it's like they're going from Google to Microsoft to Amazon. Like, oh
Oh my
my
gosh.
gosh.
It is so intimidating. Definitely don't spend more than like 5 minutes at a time on LinkedIn.
Yeah, don't. I have another question for you. I think this is a fun one. I've never asked
Yeah.
anyone, but who are three people in college you have met who have helped you a lot, but you haven't had the chance to tell them that they've helped you?
That is such a good question. And I feel like I think of people who are like not my close friends because I feel like I do express appreciation for them directly. And I would think of people like my TAs or like professors. And I think one of those people would probably be my major advisor. He was also one of my professors last semester, and he is someone who cares like really deeply about mental health in the computer science department at our school. And he also left this past summer, so he went to another school, and I had to switch advisors. But he's someone who definitely like impacted my first 2 years at Penn, and just like advocating for the like underrepresented in the community and just helping us get more like mental health days, which has been really awesome. So he would be one of the people. I think another one would be one of the TAs from my first computer science class I took freshman year. He was just like so enthusiastic about like sharing his knowledge, I guess, with all us like freshmen, and that kind of like sparked like more of an excited feeling towards the topic than I had before. So he would be another person. And the last one? The last one would probably just be like the entirety of my engineering frat, Theta Tau. They've just been like such an awesome community on campus, and I joined sophomore year, and I just remember feeling so like understood, and I felt like I clicked with so many people in the group. And everyone in the frat is just like so awesome. We have like such a great community on campus. So, them as a whole, shout out to OT.
And they're not like all computer science majors too. They're all engineering majors, right?
It's all engineering, yeah. So it's awesome. Like everyone can like find someone in the group to like do homework with, like compare answers with, or like do anything outside of engineering with, which is awesome. We're doing a spike ball tournament tomorrow. I'm super excited about that.
I had no idea you played spike ball.
Not like competitively, just for fun, you know?
Are you good?
I like to think I'm pretty good. I'll update you tomorrow if
Oh,
I win the tournament.
please do. I thought spike ball was just like a Texas thing, honestly.
No, not at all. I do remember that you won that like glow in the dark Rim? That was
Yeah.
so cool. I was so jealous. I was like, okay, I want one now.
Yeah, so Spikeball, like their Instagram account had a giveaway. They're doing like a live. So you tuned in on the live, you requested to join their video, and they would just pick a random person to get featured. And it's like a Jeopardy kind of, where you pick like a category and you pick like you're like 100, 200, 300, and I guess the challenge gets revealed and you complete that challenge with the person hosting the live. And if you beat them, then you get to pick anything under a certain amount of money. Like I think I chose like the medium or small category since that was the only categories left, and they let me pick something $60 or less in their store, which
That's
is
so
really
awesome.
nice.
Was it a hard decision? Like, what other things were you about to consider getting?
Not really, because a lot of my friends have Spikeball nets here, so like I kind of just mooch off of them, but nobody had a glow in the dark set with glow in the dark balls that you could charge. So I was like, that's gonna be my contribution.
I think I would laugh so hard if I was just like walking around at night and I saw someone playing Spikeball with the glow in the dark set.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so hopefully I can use it soon, but it's been getting a bit cold, so we'll have to be strategic of when we play.
Oh yeah, definitely, especially at night.
Another fun question I have, and we'll break this down into parts, but imagine
Okay.
this. So you are in a grocery store and you can only pick three items for breakfast, three items for lunch, and three items for dinner. What are you getting? We'll start with the breakfast. What three items are you getting?
Okay, first of all, I just want to make a disclaimer that I never eat breakfast because I don't wake up early enough. But if I were, but if I were, I would pick. So there's this yogurt brand called Noosa Yogurt. I think it's Canadian, but it is so delicious. I highly recommend trying it if you haven't before. I would get like a tub of Noosa Yogurt, and with that, I would probably get granola, either like the Nature Valley or like. There's this like bear brand, I forgot what it's called, but super good granola. And I would like eat a banana a day, so I would definitely just say a banana. I love bananas. How about you?
Okay, oh gosh, I wasn't expecting it to get turned on me. So I actually do wake up early for breakfast. Even when I don't have
Flex
to.
on me.
Well, I realize that it's kind of important, I guess. I don't know. I don't know another way to say it, but I realized I was like, why am I so hungry before lunch? Oh, it's because I didn't eat anything.
Breakfast. What time do you wake up at? Like, when do you usually eat your breakfast?
I usually wake up around 7 to 9 a.m. Like that's like, and it's like naturally too. I think it's because like I started working out a lot, like I guess in May, right whenever I guess they allowed people to start working out or something. I don't
Oh
know.
my gosh.
And I woke up early because I was like, if I work out, I feel accomplished for the day. And so I work out in the mornings most days, and I try to like eat breakfast before I leave, which is super nice. So I'd probably get milk. I'd probably get some sort of cereal. I like Frosted Flakes and Honey Bunches. So those are
Honey
good.
Bunches is my favorite.
Honey Bunches is so good. And then, yeah, I'll probably get like a banana or apple or something. So, yeah.
Banana, yeah, twins. Wow, I'm really
Twins.
impressed. Twins, even though we wake up like 4 hours apart from each other.
Yeah, okay, now let's see what you would get for lunch.
Oh, okay. I probably eat avocado toast like a few times a week for like my brunch slash lunch. So because of that, I think I would just say a loaf of bread, an avocado, and eggs. I feel like that's a nutritious yet tasty meal. And therefore, I like pat myself on the back whenever I make it. I'm like, good job.
Yeah, keep it simple. I think I'd choose something really similar, actually. I'd have like basically breakfast tacos except lunch tacos. So I'd have like
Wow. With only three ingredients, though?
Yeah, I'm not super picky, and maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing. But I would have like my tortilla and then bacon and probably just like eggs.
Yeah, we can share the eggs.
Yeah, we can share the eggs. All right, dinner. What are you getting for dinner?
Definitely need some protein in there. And my favorite form, even though I don't get it a lot because it's expensive for my budget, is salmon. I love salmon. And with that, I would probably just say like rice and green beans. I just love all of that together with some like soy sauce, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Food pyramid queen.
Health, baby.
Yeah, salmon, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes I'll like put the salmon in my cart and I'm like, oh my gosh, this little piece of salmon for 17, 18 bucks.
$17. Yeah. It hurts, but it's worth it sometimes.
It's you gotta use it for special occasions, but I'd probably just get like chicken and then rice and like frozen veggies or something. I don't know.
Frozen veggies. What are your favorite vegetables?
I love corn. Corn is definitely one of my favorites. I love mushroom when it's cooked, and I love onions,
Onions are so good.
and green beans. I love green beans and like edamame. Those are good.
Yes.
What
Wow.
about you?
Also a health king. I love broccoli, cauliflower. I think those are like my favorite vegetables, along with green beans. My mom's a vegetarian, so she like fed me like every vegetable under the sun growing up, which sometimes I hated, sometimes I loved. I love scallions. I know they aren't like they're kind of just like a topping, you know? But we're like growing scallions in our kitchen in my
Like
house.
right now, like
Yeah, like
in,
right now.
oh wow.
You just like it's really easy. You just cut everything off, leave the root, and put it in water. Like that's all you need to grow your own.
See, you make it sound so simple, but I'd probably still find a way to mess it up.
I'll send you a video tutorial.
That'd be very helpful. I also wanted to ask, so you've been in Texas how many times? I know you've been there at least once.
Just once, yeah, I think senior year of high school. I think I went there one other time, like, but just at the airport, so I'm not gonna count that.
Yeah, so I guess what is something in Texas that you thought was true and then you, like a misconception that you realized was false, or what's something I guess you found strange about Texas?
I think like the big stereotype about Texas for someone who like knows nothing about Texas is conservative and accents, and I feel like that's not true for either of you, or for like either of them are true for you. Have you
Yeah.
heard of a spotted lantern fly?
No, is that a Northeast thing?
It's a Philly thing. They're like this bug that came from Japan, I believe, somewhere in Asia, and they don't have predators, so they're just taking over the city of Philly when it's warm out. They're everywhere. They're like, you're supposed to stomp on them. There's like a bunch of like campaigns that tell Philadelphians to stomp on the bugs, like when you see them, and they're like the size of a quarter and they're pretty big and they have like pink wings.
Are they harmful to you guys?
Not to us. I think they're just really annoying because like they'll be everywhere, especially in the summer.
That's interesting. Wow. I guess
They're really ugly.
I need to visit Philadelphia. I was okay,
Yeah, you
if my
should.
co-op is in Pittsburgh though, I actually might, so.
Yeah, definitely. Even though Pittsburgh, I think, is like 4 hours away. I don't even know,
Yeah,
but.
it's like 5 hours. I searched it up.
Oh, wow. Surprisingly far for one state, but yeah, Pennsylvania is just huge.
I'll definitely give you a ring whenever, if I ever get
Yes,
up
please
there.
do. Our third time meeting in person.
That'd be great. Also, side note, whenever I was meeting Amy in Spain, I got really lost. I don't know if you remember, but I was like, we're like trying to figure out where each other were, and I was like, you see that thing far away in the distance that looks like a, I don't
A
even know.
tower?
Yeah, the tower.
I
Like,
was
can
like,
we?
no.
It was rough. I think I spent a good 30, 45 minutes trying to find out where I was. And then we passed each other on the street.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember like standing because like you were gonna come to me, but I was also trying to like move because I didn't want to stand there and just like have you come all the way to me.
Yeah, we were looking at Find My Friends. Or at
I
least I was.
was too.
Good
Good
times. I'm
times.
pretty happy that we were able to get that trip in though before like all
I
the
know.
restrictions.
Yeah, good for us. I mean, no one could have predicted it either, but.
Yeah. All right, I guess the final question is, what has been your hooray for today?
My hooray for today. Okay. I'm gonna expose myself and say I woke up at like 12:30. So, and right now it's we started this at around 3:30. So I would probably just say this. Like talking to you for the past hour has been really fun. So that's my hooray for today.
Heck yeah, I'm happy.
What's your hooray for today?
Shoot. What did I do today?
No pressure to say this, but
Honestly though, I think it is this. I haven't really done much today. And even though like even if I had, I just hadn't talked to you in such a long time. I think the only time, like the last time I talked to you before this was whenever you were giving me some advice for my interview. And then
oh yeah.
prior to that, I think, I don't even know when it was, but I'm glad we're able to catch up. You
I
know,
know, this has been great.
it's been fun, even though, you know, we've known each other for 8 years now, which is so
Maybe
weird to
going on
say.
nine.
Definitely going on nine. I think it's cool that Amy and I have been able to keep up this relationship. I think it's just a testament to, especially her, for not being weirded out by meeting this random kid on Facebook. And I don't even know how we got so close in like 7th and 8th grade. Like, are you kidding
Yeah,
me?
honestly. Shout out to Eve Wang.
Yeah, shout out to Eve.
Interesting.
She was an origin story for us.
Shout out to Seven Lakes High School.
Shout out to Woodbury High School, right?
Eastridge High School.
Eastridge, oh my gosh. I just know that Amy was homecoming queen and I was
Oh my
proud of
gosh. Wait, weren't you homecoming king at your
Yes.
school?
This is making it into the
Wow.
podcast, just
That's
saying.
when we peaked.
That's when we peaked.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, Amy, thank you so much for joining me today and
Of course. Thank you for having me.
of
This is awesome to
course.
catch up.
It's so much fun, and I cannot wait for people to learn about one of my longest tenured friends, I guess.
What an honor it is. I'm so happy for us.
Alrighty, well, goodbye. I will see you guys later.